Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, October 22nd. Coming up today, police prize a suspected shoplifter out from under a bed, more pressure piled on the Reform UK leader of KCC to step down, and a warning about the dangers of wood burning as we head into winter. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Gillingham man who was due to stand trial over child sex abuse charges took his own life in prison just a day before proceedings started. Patrick Driver was found by prison staff at HMP Elmley on the Isle of Sheppey on October the 5th. Reporter Sean McPollen has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. He's with me now to answer some questions. First of all, Sean, what can you tell us about the charges against Patrick Driver?
Patrick Driver was charged with 19 offences against 10 alleged victims. He was first arrested last year in 2024 and was due to face trial. However, that trial was delayed after further charges arose from police.
Now, he was due to appear in court on October the 6th, but the trial had faced delays before that. Is that right?
There were a number of delays with the trial going ahead, mainly due to Driver's disability. Whenever he attended court, Serco, who is the company in charge of bringing the prisoners to and from court, they weren't able to assist in getting him actually up to the courtrooms, which are on different levels at Mesa and Crown Court. So there was some delays because of that. There was delays, as previously mentioned, due to further charges being brought. And eventually, Driver was due to stand trial at Reading Crown Court on October 6th.
Now, an inquest has been opened into his death. What do we know so far?
An inquest was opened last week into his death. It was heard that he was at HMP Elmley on the Isle of Sheppey, and he was found dead in his cell, having taken his own life.
And what's been the reaction from the families of his alleged victims?
This caused a lot of anger for the families of his alleged victims. Some branding him a coward, saying he's taken the cowardly way out. They're all very upset that the alleged victims aren't able to get the justice that they were looking for through court.
Thanks, Sean. You can read more about this by clicking on the story on the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. It's been confirmed a man in his 50s has died after being struck by a train on a level crossing in Maidstone. Emergency services were called just before 2 on Monday afternoon, but the victim was pronounced dead at the scene. Officers say investigations are ongoing. A prolific shoplifter has been given a court order banning him from several shops and supermarkets across Kent. Police say Tyler Smith has blighted retailers for years and they've now secured a criminal behaviour order. The 24-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, also won't be allowed into the Pentagon Centre or Chatham High Street. Elsewhere, another shoplifter has been jailed after police found him hiding under a bed at a property in Faversham. In a two-week spree, Billy Bird stole hundreds of pounds worth of alcohol and groceries from Sainsbury's, Tesco and Co-op stores in Faversham and Ashford. Body cam footage from police shows the moment he was arrested.
Got someone hiding in a bed at the moment. How are we getting you out of here?
What's best for you? We left it or are you coming out?
Oh, it's Billy. You're under arrest, mate.
The 27-year-old from Everland Lane in Ospringe has been sentenced to 8 weeks in prison. You can see the full video at Kent Online. A number of rare coins have been stolen during a burglary at a museum near Sittingbourne. Thieves broke a lock to gain access to Milton Regis Court Hall and smashed a display cabinet inside. Police are investigating the break-in and what happened overnight last week. A search is underway for a vandal who sprayed obscene graffiti on a building at a cricket club in Ashford. Security footage at Kent Online shows a hooded figure dressed in black causing thousands of pounds worth of damage at the Willsborough site. There's speculation the suspect could be the same person who sprayed graffiti on several graves at the nearby cemetery. Police and council bosses are investigating.
Kent Online News.
The leader of Kent County Council seems to be fighting to keep her job after a leaked video of a meeting led to calls for her to resign. Footage shows Lyndon Kankaran telling councillors who questioned her policies to suck it up. After suspending four of her members on Monday, she's now written a letter to the remaining 49 Reform councillors asking them to support her. Seven Labour MPs in Kent have written to Nigel Farage. They say Ms. Kankaran must step down. Folkestone and Hythe MP Tony Vaughan is one of them.
Well, I think we need to make sure that everyone is in public office, in public life, upholds the highest standards. And I think if what we saw from this video is really the bonnet being lifted on what's under Reform's operation. And I think think, people who are in positions of leadership need to be making sure that they're, leading by example, not speaking to colleagues in a sort of bullying way, and behaving in a way that befits a person who is in charge of a £2.6 billion budget, delivering essential services for the whole of Kent.
And what do you think this says about the ability of Reform UK to govern both at the county level and at the national level?
Well, Reform said that this was going to be a shop window or an advert for Reform, were they to come into government nationally. And I think it's not an encouraging picture. I mean, I think voters in Kent are entitled to the highest standards of politicians. And I think that the behaviour that we saw in this video, I think, undermines trust in all politicians, because the idea that people in positions of real authority and real budgets responsible for real services like school transport and filling potholes, all these things which Kent County Council under Reform are cutting, it really does provide real cause for concern for voters. And I think it really makes people think about, is this really what they voted for?
Polly Billington represents East Thanet. She also says there must be changes at the top.
It's not appropriate for leaders to spend their time bullying and swearing at their staff and their colleagues. Politics is hard, making decisions is hard, but they also have an enormous responsibility to the people of Kent. They're responsible for making decisions about our roads, about our social care, about our schools. And if they can't conduct themselves in a professional way, then the concern would be that they're not making the sensible decisions that they need to, because they're making those decisions in anger or in a panic. Now, as I understand, politics is hard, decision making is hard, but if they're not able to do it without resorting to this kind of behaviour, then maybe she should stand aside.
And what do you think this leaked video and the conduct shown says about the ability of Reform UK to govern on the county and national level?
Well, Councillor Kim Curran, when she first got elected, did say that the Reform UK administration in Kent would be the best advert for a Reform UK-led government. And I'm afraid to say that she's completely right. This kind of bullying and swearing and misbehaviour would be writ large across the country, with the consequent chaos and incompetence that would follow. Politics is a grown-up game that requires grown-up and professional behaviour. And I know they're new to this, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be behaving responsibly in terms of the way that they behave with each other and in terms of the decision that they make. We're just continuing to have ongoing incompetence and chaos, and demonstrating with this leaked video is the kind of culture that she's developing inside the group. Nobody wants to work in those environments, and anyone who has been experienced one of those environments knows that it's much harder to do your best day at work when you are frightened of your boss. And that, if there's nothing else, for the people of Kent, they need to make sure that the people who are making decisions are not frightened, distracted, or feeling bullied. And that's, again, another reason why Councillor Kim Curran should stand aside.
And finally, here's Jim Dixon, who's the MP for Dartford.
Well, we were told from the beginning that the Reform administration in Kent County Council was going to be a shop window for what Reform would be like nationally in government. And I have to say that it's turning out to be a little shop of horrors. And not to call this too much of a joke, because it isn't a joke. We're talking about £2.5 billion worth of public money, Kent taxpayers' money, my residents' money, vital services like running schools, SEND services, adult and children's social care, in the hands of an organisation that seems to have been taken over by a toxic bullying culture which runs from the leadership downwards, and incompetence of a variety of kinds. And what we've said is, national reform, you need to get Kent County Council sorted out so it gets its act together and we can have confidence again that it's delivering decent services and looking after value for money for my residents.
Kent Online News.
A Gravesend woman who launched an unprovoked attack on another woman has appeared in court. Keely Hanlon accused her victim of being involved with her partner before punching her in the eye outside a Londis in August last year. The 43-year-old from St Patrick's Gardens admitted assault by a beating. She must do rehab and alcohol treatment and pay more than £600. Neighbours of a green in Ashford that's been fenced off for months say it's like living next door to a jungle. Barriers appeared around the plot in Quantock Drive in June after an application was submitted to declare the space a village green. Residents say it's become overrun with weeds and is an eyesore. Local bosses say a decision on the application is due soon. Part of Sheerness High Street is going to be shut for 12 days for urgent waterworks. Southern Water say it's necessary so the repairs can be carried out safely by their engineers. Barriers are in place between Victoria Street and St George's Avenue. Now, a campaign group is calling for tighter regulations around wood burning over fears of the impacts of toxic smoke. Figures show there have been more than 1,200 complaints about harmful burning in the Swale area alone in the last year. That's the highest in the country, but fewer than 150 warning letters were sent out. I've been speaking to Jemima Hartshorn. She's with the campaign group Mums for Lungs. She's been explaining to me just how complicated the rules are around wood burning.
I think that the real reason that our nation, our public, our children are not being protected from wood burning pollution is that the enforcement and the legislation is so unclear and complicated. So it depends on whether you live in a smoke control zone or a non-smoke control zone. And based on where you are living, you are allowed to burn in certain appliances and you are allowed to burn, depending on the appliance you're using, certain fuels. If this has got too complicated to follow, I totally agree. And that is why we are not seeing enough action on phasing out wood burning, on restricting wood burning, and why well over 14,000 people in this country have complained about wood burning pollution. And there has been just, you know, 20 odd enforcements in this country in the past 12 months.
Where do the regulations come from? Are they at a sort of local government level? Are they at a central government level? Because I must admit, before I really started to think about it, I thought, I don't know what the restrictions are for my area. I don't know who's in charge of the wood burning regulations. So, yeah, where are the enforcements supposed to be coming from?
Well, it is up to national government to set the framework around wood burning. But then it depends whether you live in a smoke control zone or a non-smoke control zone, and that is up to the local authority to decide. And then if you are in a smoke control zone where you have some restrictions on the kind of appliance you're allowed to burn in, and then depending on the appliance, i.e. if you've got a modern wood burner or if you have an open fire, you're allowed to burn different kinds of fuels in them, even in your smoke control zone. But then it would be up to the local authority to check what is going on. And that's where it gets complicated, because how do they know what you are doing inside your home and what is coming out of your chimney, polluting your neighbours?
I suppose that makes it difficult to enforce. So even though, you know, local authorities may want to comply and, you know, they may want to be enforcing the rules correctly, it really seems, well, as you said, how do you know? How do you know what people are burning, and how do individuals know what they're allowed to burn? It sounds like just an overly complicated situation.
It is a completely complicated situation. And that is why we are calling with the absolute experts in the health profession, with the Royal College of Paediatrics, for a phase out of wood burning, at least at the absolute minimum in urban areas. Because what wood burning is doing is it is putting huge levels of air pollution, the most toxic kind of air pollution, particle pollution, into the air to be inhaled by your neighbour's children, by your neighbours who might have asthma, who might actually get asthma from you burning inside your home. And what I found so staggering as well is that it also pollutes you inside your home, but you are not told so. So people might be buying a wood burner in good faith. They might be buying a wood burner that says this is a DEFRA approved appliance. And they think, oh my God, national government has approved this wood burner. This must be safe and healthy and good to go. But it isn't. And that's why we're calling also for an absolute first step to be happening, ideally tomorrow, an end to the stamp that says this is a DEFRA approved, a DEFRA compliant stove. That has to go immediately.
Kent Online News.
A weather warning for wind and rain has been issued for Kent. Yellow alerts will be enforced for pretty much the whole of tomorrow. The Met Office says there's a chance of flooding and travel disruption. There are concerns for the future of Dover's Marina Curve, with two businesses confirming they're leaving the waterfront development. Two cafes are moving out, with bosses citing challenging weather conditions and a lack of footfall. Dover Council have admitted they struggle to compete with Folkestone Harbour Arm, 8 miles along the coast, but they're working to bring more people to the region. There's a public consultation on plans to build up to 150 homes on farmland in Mepham. The development will be a mix of detached, semi-detached and terraced properties off Norwood Lane. Some residents have already expressed their opposition to building on greenbelt land. If approved, building could start in 2027. Now, a Kent woman who went through menopause in her early 40s says there's still too much stigma around the issue. Grace Lawson from Longfield worked in the city at the time, but has now become a personal trainer and runs groups to help other women. She's been sharing her story as we mark Menopause Awareness Month.
I had an operation for fibroids when I was 42, which put me into menopause early. And actually, I wasn't advised when I had that operation that it would send me into menopause. So, interesting start to the whole kind of menopause journey. But I've worked in the city for kind of 3 decades, and around that time, so 2017, I decided that I wanted to kind of retrain as a personal trainer. I'd always kind of had a love of the body. I wanted to be a physiotherapist way back. So I retrained as a personal trainer. And first of all, I kind of worked with everybody, and then I suddenly found that my niche was working with women. And then as I've kind of grown, or as I've got older, obviously I've then been trying to navigate my own menopause journey, and then trying to help other women kind of on their menopause journey at the same time. And the fitness side of menopause is really important. You know, women lifting weights, doing resistance work. It's a shame that women in their 20s aren't told to do all this stuff to guard against osteoporosis and kind of muscle atrophy in your midlife years. And maybe things are beginning to change a little bit more now that, you know, the M word is out there, kind of in the media a bit more. And thanks to people like, you know, Davina McCall and Gabby Logan, and, you know, people even in the States, like the actress Halle Berry. She was super fit. You know, she's been in action movies, and she thought that she would sail through menopause. And she has had quite possibly the worst time ever. And she's been kind of very vocal about it. So that's the other thing about menopause, is that you can do all the right things, but still that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to kind of have a kind sort of transition. So the fitness side is really important. But what I've learnt is that, one, women don't talk about this subject enough. Two, the generation of women that are going through menopause at this moment in time were kind of sold a dream back in their 20s. And I know that I was part of that, you can have it all. You can have a career, you can have a family, you know, you can kind of meet men halfway in the city. But actually an awful lot of women now are actually deciding that they were sold that dream and it isn't what they want. And that's where kind of the wild becoming really has kind of grown through all of that. So it's helping women more so around that mindset piece, and actually being a bit courageous and deciding to design a life of their own rather than one that society tells them that they should have.
Kent Online News.
A nightclub boss in Herne Bay is hosting underage discos in a bid to tackle the town's antisocial behaviour problem. The owner of Vivid is teamed up with Utes in the Bay to host a series of events aimed at 11 to 15-year-olds. They're hoping to create a welcoming space for kids that keeps them from getting into trouble on the streets. Plans to put up temporary houses for the homeless on a disused commuter car park near Chatham have taken a step forward. A contractor has been appointed to build 12 self-contained Z-pods on the former Bluebell Hill car park. The £4 million project is subject to planning permission. Council bosses are hoping to submit an application next month. You'll soon be able to see double-decker trains travelling through Kent. Eurostar has announced plans to buy up to 50 to run on the line between London, St Pancras and Paris. Bosses say it'll increase passenger capacity by 20%. The trains still won't stop at Ashford or Ebbsfleet, though. And a Kent mum's been reunited with paramedics who managed to deliver her baby in the living room. Becky thought she was experiencing Braxton Hicks contractions, so was advised not to go to hospital, but she was actually close to giving birth. Her partner called an ambulance and Elliot was born at home, weighing a healthy 8 pounds. The whole family's visited Ashford's Make Ready Centre to thank crews who helped. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to www.kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.